Hey guys, welcome back to tonight's podcast on The Couples Project.
The Couples Project, I'm Colton.
You just interrupted me.
You know, that's just, hey.
Okay, I'm Kenna, he's Colton.
I wanted to start the podcast anyway, and you just kind of did.
Well, I just feel like you're just kind of butting in when I talk.
excuse me?
You're not. Anyways, sorry we forgot to post yesterday, but we're here again tonight. So today, we're going to be talking about... You know how to say it.
Yeah, it's pretty much...
He came up with this.
Not allowing external events to govern your internal condition. So, when unpredictable things happen, because we live in a very unpredictable world, good things happen and bad things happen. This also goes for the good. It's not just bad things.
Yep.
Even when something really good happens, sometimes that can get to your head. And, well, then that's not good. Don't do that. But sometimes also bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by not allowing them to govern your internal condition is I'm not talking about being, like, stone cold, like, nothing can affect. You have to be totally stoic. No matter what happens, you have to just be like a rock. No. Like, part of that is actually allowing yourself to feel what's happening. If you're anxious about something, if you're scared, if you're happy, if you're excited, the opposite of that would be bottling it up. And that's not good. It just builds up and builds up, and then it just gets nuts. It's like a poo kind of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, now.
But it's true, I guess.
It's true.
And, ew. But, sorry, guys.
If you don't poo for days, it can kill you. So
okay, well,
so,
everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's true. I mean, like, the thing is, and Colton, he told me that when we were first dating, and I remember thinking, wow, that is so cool that he lives by it, too. He doesn't just say it, but he really doesn't let the external things that happen to him or that have happened to him in his life make, I don't know, describe it, like, you haven't let bad things that happen make you who you are. All the good and the bad that has happened in your life, you have the memories of it, but you've decided on your own how you're going to react and who you're going to be from those memories. And so I think that's creating a very fine line between not living in the past, but not living too far in the future, and just being in the present and in yourself, because you're not so caught up in, well, I'm just this way because my dad would do this, or I'm just this way because my mom did this, or like... Everyone's their own person, and this is all... I love hearing the quote, this is everyone's first time living life. You can't judge another person compared to you in that sense. But it's true, when an external event happens, like your car breaks down, that's an external thing, right? Internally, are you gonna decide, you know, all cars are like this, even though some aren't, but all cars are like this, I'm never going to have a good car, or I...
Even though it would suck if your car broke down.
That would suck. That's okay to feel the suck, but at the same time, you help, you kind of disassociate it from making that your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Or
It's like saying, oh, this happened because, like I just have bad luck and all this, but it's also important if your car breaks down, be prepared for that, because it actually could be a very bad life-threatening situation. If your car breaks down and you're in the middle of nowhere, you need to do something. Yeah, just be like, oh, well, dang, you know.
Yeah, that would be a hard situation. And there's certain things externally that happen that it's okay to hurry and react internally. Or it's okay to be, okay, what do I do? Like, if someone is coming at you, you have to react. Or if you're in a scary situation, like you're about to cliff jump or do something kind of crazy, but you don't feel like you should, all these things, we have to coexist with our external and our internal environment. And I think, what would you say? So everyone kind of knows what an external environment is, like your house, being outside, anything outside of yourself. But what would you say, how do you create an internal environment for yourself to live in?
An internal environment, I think...
Comfortably live in.
Your internal environment and your external environment, they're not too dissimilar, because we live in the external. Our bodies live in the external. And there's always going to be unpredictable stuff that happens. Your day is never going to go exactly how you plan it to go.
No.
And there's always going to be something happen, you know, that's either really good or really bad or in the middle, you know. Usually it's a pretty mundane kind of a day, but it's easy to play the victim and say, oh, well, all this stuff just happens to me. You know, this is just who I am. Like, you're friends with me, bad things happen. You know, it's like they make that part of who they are. But it's also okay to live in reality and say, well, you know, if I think your external environment is a reflection of what's going on inside. If all your relationships are just bad and people don't like being around you and they, you know, usually it's something with you. Like, usually it's okay, well, maybe I need to look at the way I'm treating people. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing, I think, is how you treat people, especially those closest to you.
Oh, yeah. I love to say, like, and I say it to him all the time, but I've always said the most important thing to me at the end of the day is that you feel loved, you know, because...
Oh, and I do in spades. Oh. Like, I am a very spoiled husband.
Oh, I'm a spoiled lady. But it's true, because if you're letting the last... That be the last thing on your mind, of course, it's not going to mean a whole lot to you how you are to other people. And I think most people are good. I think most people are nice. I think pretty much any of you listening to this are good people. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like just most people are great and try their best, and we're all trying, and we're all nice, and we express that in different degrees because we're all different people. But I really like what you said about that. And to answer the question for myself too, I think an internal environment is creating a garden in your mind.
Well, I like that.
And one time, my parents, we were just talking on a Sunday a long time ago when I was maybe in high school, and my mom wrote this, like, on our wall in, like, light pencil writing. It was really cute. She wrote, make sure you take care of the garden of your mind. And she just left that up there the whole week. And every time I'd walk past to my room, I'd see that after getting off school. And I'd be like, dang, like, am I doing that? Am I taking care of things? And when I say taking care of things, am I taking care of the way I speak to people? Am I taking care of the way I talk to myself? Which is always neglected. It's easy to. Am I taking care of this or that or A, B, and C, you know? And I liked seeing my mind as a garden. I saw that every day. So after a while, it just kind of got stuck in my mind. Like, okay, my mind should be a garden. Am I going to let weeds overrun my garden? Am I going to let a weed take over this plant I'm creating, or this sunflower, or this bright, happy flower I have? It's easy to. And I think the biggest battle is mastering self-control of our own mind and our own thoughts and our affirmations for each other and for one another. And I think when you can create an internal environment that looks like a garden, if you can close your eyes and picture that in your mind, does my mind look like a garden? Does it have new flowers growing? Does it have fresh soil planted? Does it have trees? Does it have birds? However you feel like you can imagine right now, is it a clean ocean of water, or is it a clean, like, something good, you know, that you can imagine with having a clean and a bright and healthy mind? And there's always going to be times where a weed just pops up out of nowhere, you know, and you have to take care of it, but you get to that. And I think if we're actively trying to be the gardener of our minds, then that's the power. That's where the power comes from. If you can be the gardener of your own mindful garden, your own garden in your mind, then you're learning how to master control over your own thoughts, over your own doubts. One of the ways I feel like I can create my garden, my internal, I guess, ideal or at least comfortable environment is by what I listen to the moment I wake up. Like, that is such a big start I think that's like sowing the seeds, you know, like if you wake up and you listen to the news, or you wake up and I do it all the time, or I just start watching my social media, or checking my emails, or checking my texts, who needs me, who wants what do I need to pay, what do I need to do? That can be stressful, waking up and suddenly feeling that instant, okay, crap, what do I need to do, who needs me, what do I need to do? That can be stressful, and that's kind of neglecting the flowers in your garden, I think, by the first thing you do getting up. Or the news, oh my gosh, like this person and this thing happened and that, is this going to happen to me, you know? That's making your environment feel unstable. And so I'm learning, and I have to learn this over and over again, but I'm learning the first thing I have to do when I wake up is just not do anything, is just to open my eyes and just breathe and be like, okay. An affirmation I like to say to myself in my own mind the second I wake up is, okay, wake up. Am I going to... I have to make an active decision. Okay, I'm not going to look at my phone, because it's so easy to. And I think about, okay, what kind of person do I want to be today? Do I want to be an open person? Do I want to be a teachable person? And I pick one thing I want to do, and I say, okay, if I want to be a teachable person, I know I'm capable of being a teachable person. And I just kind of tell myself that. Or if I want to be a loving person today, I know I can be a loving person. And I just start kind of saying those things in my mind so that they're already on my mind. Or, okay, I feel like I could be stressed about this thing coming up today, but am I going to be a peaceful person? Okay, I can be a peaceful person. And the action, even out loud, especially, of saying I can be this person, or I can be this version of myself, I can be peaceful, I can be kind, I can be patient. It's just as powerful as also letting yourself feel stressed or feel whatever you're feeling in the moment. But when you start your day by planting your seeds and rooting yourself in the roots of your beliefs and your truth, then you're like, okay. And you just have such a different perspective of your whole day, knowing that you can be peaceful even if this person is stressing you out, this thing is stressing you out, this event coming up is stressing you out. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself in the morning, I'd say, is the biggest way to implement your garden and implement making your internal environment. And so I'd say that's just my biggest thing. I could go on and on about this, but to answer this first question we've been talking about, I'd say it's that. I'd say it's the way you talk to yourself every morning. Do you feel like you, when you wake up, have certain things that you go through in your mind, or do you just kind of wake up and think, okay, or did you ever have to make an active decision when you were younger to be like, okay, the way I wake up matters?
Usually when I wake up, I usually don't say any affirmations. Like, everyone has their own way of waking up. And whatever helps you have a good day, what I've found is sometimes when you start your day really good and you're in a positive state of mind, something is going to challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be something that happens later on that day that will challenge
it. Yeah.
And for me, that's usually what happens. But something I do, because sometimes you might have a really bad day at work, or, you know, and that's normal, but I always make sure that nothing that happens at work, I bring home with me. I keep those things totally separate, even though it's me experiencing all that at work. It's easy to take stuff that happens outside of our home and dealing with people personally, but usually, if somebody treats you not very nice, or usually it's something going on with them. It's usually not as personal as it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are out to get you, though. Like, I think going through life, there's always going to be people that are just, they just don't like you. For whatever reason, they're just after you. And that's okay, because I think those people are here to challenge who we are, because it's easy to be kind to people when you're having a good day and when everything's going good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to be positive and be all like, all amway moi. I made that up, by the way. But when you're having a bad day, how do you treat people? When you have a headache, when you're not feeling good, sometimes you might wake up with a headache and it's like, oh man, I have to go do this and go do that.
Or you're waiting for something.
You're waiting for something. Sometimes that's the worst. You have to talk to people on the phone. How do you talk to people on the phone? And it's, you never really... There's always going to be times that you slip up. One time, I was talking to this dude that was financing our couch. He tried to charge us an extra $1,000 for some reason. And I got mad. I called him an effer and a mother up and this and a that. You know, just mad. Just went off on him. Said, you're an effer, you know. Just really... And I don't talk to people that way. But he made me mad. Really mad. And I just went off. And I got a good chewing out from my sweetheart here. Yeah. And but how are you on those days? Because I learned from that. You know, I try to, so you always want to try to treat people good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's going to be days that you have, it's just not going to be a good day. But that's not going to last forever. I often find that people that talk about positivity and people that are like, oh, you know, like coexist and be positive, oftentimes they're the most angry nuts people around. I have an aunt that's this way. Okay. She is a prime example. I'm not going to say her name. You don't know who's listening to these, you know, but oftentimes people that talk about this stuff being positive all the time and all that, they are not, even what I've seen, they're not happy people. I've seen it.
You have to practice. Yep.
And so if you're having a bad day, don't try to be like, oh no, this is a good day. Or this is a good situation. It might be a bad situation.
It's okay to say something sucks that's happening to you. Yeah.
You have to embrace the suck. Mm-hmm. You have to just embrace it. Like, it's going to be tough, you know. Life is never easy.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Embrace the suck.
Yeah, you have to embrace the suck. Because there's going to be sucky things that happen. There's no way around it. That is what kind of chisels you into who you become.
I like that.
You might become somebody, but then something happens and then it's like, what the heck, who am I now? But you can always be in control of your actions.
I really like that.
And how you speak to people, because no matter how mad I've gotten at my family, I make sure I will never yell at them. Because if you think about it this way, if you yell at your grandma or somebody and that person passes away for some reason and the last thing you said was really mean, you're gonna feel awful, you know, and you don't want to cut someone down, you know. Not allowing external events to govern your internal condition, for me, is always treating people with kindness, being respectful. Because it's when people start thinking, oh, you know, like it's about me, you know, it's how people are treating me. It's what can I get? That's just the best way to look at things is how can you be there for others? Mm-hmm. And so I think the most powerful people are the ones that can go through all these high stress things and they come home and they're just, you know, they're not, I always try to have a reserve of energy because I work a job that's kind of, you know, you're always moving around and it's easy to put all your energy into it, but I won't do it. If that means slacking off once in a while and getting in trouble, that's fine. Cause I always want to have enough energy left over at the end of the day. And still do a good job, you know. Yeah. But I always want to have enough energy left over that when I come home, me and Kenna can go dancing. Because that's the most important thing to me, is coming home and spending time with my cute wife. and having enough energy to, and there's going to be some days you just have a headache and you don't feel good and you don't want to do anything, mm-hmm. you know, and that's usually when everything happens. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Things are, it's like it's programmed this way.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like if one thing is bugging you mm-hmm. that day, 10 more things will. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've learned, especially getting older. It's like, I realize if I'm thinking about one thing, I'm like, okay, that's annoying, whatever. And then something else will. Then mm-hmm. something else happens. But lately, I've tried to kind of even like laugh about it because it's just sometimes so many things happening at once to you. Even though it's not funny, it feels funny because of the timing of it, and it's just so. It feels almost on purpose, right? Like you mm-hmm. kind of are like, okay, like this is just ridiculous, you know, and you have to kind of laugh about it just to deal with it, but. But at the same time, I get it. It's like you're doing good, and all these great things happen, and then all of a sudden, it really is like that. Life really is a wave because I don't know, and I don't know why it happens. It's a conundrum, but I think that when we're doing really good in our lives, and then something happens to us that makes us feel like we suddenly are tripping, like. Whether it's a really, like, you feel like you're tripping really bad, or it's just kind of a little bit, and you can get back up, okay, whatever the degree is of how bad you feel right now because of whatever's happening to you. I might sound kind of cliche saying this, but I think it's because we are strong enough now to handle this moment than we were before. And I think that the only reason you're in the moment you're in right now, even if it's really hard, is because you are the strongest version of yourself right now. The you who you are now couldn't have handled what you're handling right now maybe a year ago. I know for sure there's a lot of things that have happened to me in my life that I knew going through it. I'm like, okay, this sucks. I don't know if I can do it, but I got through it because I was able to do it even if I didn't know I could. But I don't know if I would have been able to before that. And now I do know I could. But
you have to become the right person for that.
You have to even become the right person for your challenges. Like, and that sounds so, like, what the heck, like, that is so dumb. But once you get through a challenge or once you get through a hard time, you come out on the other side of it, like, beautifully. Even if it's a hard kind of struggle and you feel like you're just roughing it and dragging your feet, you're still getting through it, and that is a wonderful thing. And it's still very graceful, I think.
And you're always stronger than you think you are. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that... That sounds funny, but we have to even kind of be prepared for our challenges in life so that when we are through that challenge, we are so much more refined and so much stronger and, like you said, more chiseled and crafted into so much better of a person than we were before. And that just happens at random, and I think that's just how it's supposed to go. But that's been my perspective. I'm like, okay, even my trials that I go through, I really don't know if I could handle them the way I do now, but I'm handling it the way I do now because of the other challenges I went through before that I didn't think I could handle. It's just kind of a compounding effect, even though when bad things happen, they feel like a compounding effect and challenges feel like a compounding effect, so will the good be that comes out of it. Because it's like if you struggle a little bit, I think you'll get some good. If you struggle a lot, you'll get a lot of good. I think it's kind of the same thing where it's like what you put in, you get out. Mm-hmm. What you put in through your trials and your challenges, and if you try to take any time you can when you're in these hard times to learn, I mean, just being open to something, you'll be okay. And it's okay to go through those times where you're like, I just don't want to hear anything, like, screw everything, screw this, screw that, screw this person. Like, it's okay to feel that too. Like we were saying, it's okay to be really angry, or it's okay to be really frustrated for as long as you need. Because I think, like you said, trying to tell yourself something doesn't suck when it does just makes it worse, you know? You'll feel it later either way.
It's kind of a way of being like, well, it's kind of like being in denial that way, mm-hmm. you know? And, I'm playing...
He's trying to play Minecraft, I'm playing Minecraft too loud.
And I'm clicking the buttons, but...
No.
Okay, sorry. I'm just gonna use the toggle.
No.
Okay, fine.
Anyways.
But, something that makes me mad is when I have all my stuff in Minecraft and nothing gets me more irate then when I've worked hard, I've gotten Madame Diamonds, and then I die. And it's like, this stupid game. I get mad. I get so mad at this game.
But boy, I even got a Minecraft shirt the other day. He's going through a Minecraft phase again.
Yeah, I finessed it. I mean, I bought it from Walmart, and I like that shirt. Okay, it's green. But a lot of times, even when you're having a bad day, there are so many good things that have happened that you've just overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most important thing you can do is trust. Because sometimes these things happen because maybe if it didn't happen, you'd have gotten in a car wreck. Or
yeah.
Maybe if you didn't miss that exit, a semi would have hit you. Or you sometimes I think bad things happen in God's way of protecting us
mm-hmm.
from something or to push us forward towards something else.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, it might look like a bad thing. It's just like those stories of people that worked at the Twin Towers and they were late for work and the plane hit that day. And if they would have been at work, they'd have died. It's kind of like that, you know, where it was a horrible thing that happened, but because they were late that day or because, you know, I think there's certain things that happen because they're meant to happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most important thing you can do is trust and have faith that things will work out.
Have faith and trust, yeah.
Except for when you're playing Minecraft. This game is, it gyps you, okay? This game gyps you. Most games do. But luckily that's not real life, you know?
But sometimes it is real life. Sometimes you have all your inventory, you have all these things.
The anger that I feel is real. And
you get kind of attached to your things. That's just a normal human feeling. It's okay to feel attached to things you have, but and then suddenly you lose a bunch of stuff, or this or that happens, or you're in this relationship and you lose it, or suddenly something just happens and you're like, what? I thought I had it all. You still do have it all because you're here and you have yourself, but at the same time, in the moment and you feel like you're losing everything that's important to you. Yeah, you feel like you're nothing. You feel like you don't have anything. And you kind of feel like you have to start over. But like in Minecraft, sometimes when you lose all your inventory, you end up finding better stuff sometimes. Or you end up finding a different cave, a different tunnel. Again, that's just a metaphor. But I get it. I get how it feels where you're like, man, I'm losing everything. Or I feel like this. It's okay to let yourself feel that way, too, because it is happening to you, and it is valid that you are upset about it. But even in this moment, and you feel like you're losing it all, you will gain more. But it's okay to not believe it right now. It's okay to believe things on your timing. It's okay to believe things when you feel like you can start to muster the power to believe it, because you can't force yourself to believe something unless you want to. I think there's been a lot of times in my life where I've tried to get myself to just believe in something or to just be like, oh, okay, I know it'll be okay, but I don't know. You don't know a lot of things, but if you can just take your time to figure out what it is you do believe in will happen for you, then whatever you believe in, you will start to think about. And whatever you think about, you will start to live. Whatever you live about, whatever you're doing while you're just living day to day, will happen. And I say little things like this all the time, and it sounds kind of preppy of me to say, but like tonight we were cooking, and I have this pot. It's like a little blue pot. I'm like, I wanted like a little pot like this, like since I was a little kid. Now I'm manifesting it. Like, I say that because I like that word anyway, but I say, I'm manifesting this because I'm telling my brain out loud, okay, you wished for this little thing a long time ago, or you wished for this a long time ago, and now you have it. And the biggest thing that I know for sure I manifested is a wonderful husband, and I like to just say stuff like this, not because I care about all the little pots and pans and things I get, but it's because of the life I'm creating with them, like the life I'm creating because of it. Like, I wanted this, and it's not even like, okay, by the time I'm 21, who I am now, like, I better have this and this and this. All my life, it was just like, okay, eventually I want these things, but in their time. And because of that, I don't feel too stressed about when things will come my way, or when things will come my way because of the way I'm paving for it, because of the way my way maker is paving it for me. And yeah, it's just a cool feeling when you know, whoa, like, I wanted this long time ago, and it's here. And I think everything we subconsciously want, and we really truly want, even if they're kind of little things, I think it's cool. I think that happens as a side effect of trying your best. And I don't know, I believe that. I think it's kind of cool that manifesting is true, and it works. You can manifest anything, you know. And manifesting, to me, means thinking about something long enough that you do something, or you say something, or you put some kind of effort out to get something back of that thing you want. And because you can't just say, I want to manifest the castle and not do anything, you know. It's like, obviously, but what do you feel like manifesting, that word manifest, means to you?
I think it means, for one, having appreciation for what you have. Because I think everybody wants a Ferrari or a nice car, you know. Oh, sorry, I keep on grabbing the controller. But for me, I never thought my life would be so good. You know, like, I have the best wife in the whole world. Aww. And she's my bestest friend. And she's someone who I get to come home to every day and kiss and love and do stuff with and do other stuff with. And she's just the best, you know. Like, she's what makes my life so good. Because without her, all the stuff we have, like, wouldn't mean anything to me. Aww. You know, like, it's just kind of, you know. Yeah, she's the one that does all that.
Oh, he's so cute.
And so, yeah, she's why I have a really good day, or, you know, because I just love being around her and knowing that we're sealed together. And it's just, it's, to me, that's the coolest thing. And so, no matter what happens in the day, it's like, well, hey, you know, I have more than I ever thought I would have ever had.
You know?
So if I have a bad day at work, or, you know, that doesn't really, it's like I forget about it the second I come home, you know? Mm. Or, like, I don't know, like, that other stuff just doesn't matter to me.
Mm.
You know? It matters in its own way, but it doesn't affect how I come home, because, oh, I always get so excited to come home. It's that same feeling of, like, when you're going over to this girl that you have a crush on's house, and you're going to knock on the door, only I get to come home to that every day. And so it's like, I live a life of being just stoked and excited every day. Like, when I wake up, I turn around and I see her cute face, you know, in the morning. And that is, oh, that's something I'm always going to be so thankful for. And so there's nothing that can happen to me that, crap, I'm being attacked. Wait. There's nothing that can happen to me that is going to totally just ruin my day, because I know that I get to come home to somebody so cute.
And, oh, I love you. He lives that so well. He's always come home just happy to see me, and I feel so blessed. I am so blessed, and that's the most important thing that we talk about all the time. Is like, well, I have you, and really, that is all that matters. Like, because the only reason anything else that I have or that he has matters is because I have him in the memory of it. Like, I wouldn't want to cook in our kitchen if I didn't get to cook with him, or or play guitar, or watch a show, or play a video game, or make a podcast even. I've made my own podcast, but it's not nearly as fun as hearing, like, his perspective. And
I love hearing her perspective and her voice.
I'm a simp.
I think I'm a little more of a simp.
I think I'm the most. I made all the moves on you, so.
I think I'm more. And, you know? Yeah. She gets teased.
Yeah.
Sometimes I fart in the covers and you know.
But. Well, he's a nuts husband, but he's very cute and very sweet. And something I've always loved about him and the inspiration for the podcast today as we kind of, you know, come to an end here on it is like, I just told him, I was like, I love that when you told me how you don't let external things govern your internal, because he is the most perfect example of that, of no matter what day he's had or what happens, he is always happy to see me. He has never once come home angry with me or blaming me or yelled. Like, he's just wonderful, and he's a precious one.
Oh, she's sure my a precious, precious sweetheart. One to me. And I think a good way to end this is, yeah, just treat people good. But for the unpredictable things that happen, just be as prepared as you can be. Luck favors the prepared. Carry tools with you, you know? That's going to make your day so much easier. You might even really save someone else's day. You know?
I see what you mean, though. When you're prepared, you're just less... It's another stress off your mind.
Mm-hmm. I know that when I leave the house and I have my Leatherman, I have my flashlight, you know, I don't know. I know that if I ever have to fix something, or as long as it's not too big for the job of a Leatherman, I can.
And that's the thing with... it goes hand in hand mentally. Where is the flashlight in your mind? Where is
all the tools
in your mind that you need? You have to have tools in your mind to weed your garden, to garden.
Yeah, you have to have mind. You have to have the shovel. You have to have the sword.
the sword.
We were watching The Chosen, and Jesus said something really cool. He said that, "I didn't come down here to create peace on earth. I came down here to give you a sword."
Yeah,
that is so cool. He said that. That is just, it's
dang,
so cool. It's
that's deep.
It's a way of it's such a mental tool, and such a in what you put faith in is going to grow so much, you know, whether it's good or bad. What you put faith in is going to grow. But you know,
that's cool. I forgot that he said that.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I loved this show that we're watching.
It's a good show.
It's called The Chosen, and it's on BYU TV. I think that's where you can watch it for free.
Yeah.
And it is just the coolest show. It's made by this really good Christian producer, and he just captures who Jesus Christ is perfectly, and his disciples, and all the people of that time that he was around. And I love that. It has shown me that he was a real person. He was honest. He was happy. He was sad. He was angry. He was a patient.
And it helps me understand better the stories in the scriptures, because sometimes it's hard for me to picture them, because there's so many words sometimes that it's hard to picture it like as a story.
And every time he talks, it's like so straight up, like just like, hey, I love that he gives you a sword. That is so cool, because there's no way you can just control everybody in this earth and hope that everyone will be peace and kumbaya all your life. But if you have your sword of righteousness, of your truth, of your peace, and you know how to defend those things, you'll be okay. And even if there's always going to be people that will kind of betray you, or you'll be heartbroken, but that's okay to feel too, as long as you have your system, you have your garden, and you know how to protect it.
And knowing how to forgive, because nothing will hold you back more than holding grudges towards people and wishing harm on them and all this and that. Now, I've been mad before at people. I've been so mad that I've thought those things, like, oh, if they weren't here on the earth, it'd be better, this and that. But it's okay to have to go through that. And at the end of the day, you've worked through it. You've turned... I like to think of it like going in to all those negative emotions and turning the iron into steel and feeling all these things. And it's going to be tough. But when people talk about meditation, it's not all just positivity and this and that, or even prayer, you know, like, it's important to I think darkness and negativity and all that stuff, it needs to be faced head on. It can't be cowered from. It can't be bottled up and turned away from, or, you know, it has to be faced.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through it, and you have to feel it and understand it. And at the end of the day, and just forgive. Just let go. Even though that can be really hard, you know?
Yeah.
If me and Kenna are playing Minecraft and she killed me and took all my diamonds and went and built a sword out of diamonds with my diamonds, which hasn't happened. But, you know.
Because I don't know how to play it that good. But
luckily, because she probably would. She probably would. She'd probably kill me. She'd jack all my inventory because she doesn't know how to make the stuff.
Maybe I should.
No, you know.
You're actually pretty easy to kill in Minecraft. Hey. But anyways, but I love that. I've really had to learn that too. That I just can't worry. Like, I can't be super mad at somebody for long. You know, it takes more energy and more effort to be really, really angry at somebody every day than it is to be really mad at them for a while and then move on. It's just like, I think if you're keeping someone at the forefront of your mind in a negative way, you're giving them your power and they don't even know it.
And I think a good way to put that
is
he who keeps you really angry all the time controls you.
Mm-hmm.
You give your control.
Or makes you really sad.
It makes you sad, or mm-hmm. or really just affects your day.
Because no one can make you feel a certain way. You ultimately,
you've given them the permission to do that.
You ultimately give them permission, yep.
Unless they kill your cat, you know, then I could see getting mad, you know. But yeah. Like, if somebody calls you a name, and you decide, you know what, they called me this, I hate them now. It takes a lot of energy to hate someone.
Hating someone in general, you can really root yourself deep in it, depending mm-hmm. on the hate you feel for them. And depending on any situation, I will never ever judge why someone hates someone else. Because that is never my place. Maybe something someone did to someone was really, really wrong. And sometimes we are just too angry. It almost feels like it's more than we can handle. But when it's feeling more than you can ever handle, if you feel more hate or more anger than you feel like you can hold, just drop it. You have to, because they don't deserve to bring you into the weight room and watch you lift all the weights that they've given you.
Ooh, I like that.
They deserve to carry their own weights, to carry what they've put out. You deserve to drop it and go to your own room.
Yeah,
go to your own room.
There's people who will try to make their burdens yours.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I've had to realize that too over and over again. But these are some good insights and some good things, and something I love talking. I think this is one of my favorite things we've talked about in the podcast, because it's very
a good one.
It's very
like
humbling.
This.
It's very humbling for me to realize all these things again, because. And to say it out loud, to be like, wow, I am not perfect. I get angry, I get upset, but I can channel this and I can use it for good. Even if, like you said, your day doesn't go how you want, it'll all be okay. That's always the end to every sentence, is it will be okay, but I can promise it will be. And just keep walking, keep crawling, whatever you feel like you need to do in the moment, that's okay. Even if you just have to lay down and you have to cry or say, I don't know what to do, and it's okay. But, yeah. Do you have anything else to say? Anything more insightful than what we've discussed? This has been good.
I could go for a bomb treat.
No, you don't need trivia ice cream.
After this podcast, I'm totally going to convince her to let me get a treat.
He tries.
There's ways you can convince the wife of these things. There's ways, you just have to find them out for your wife. Find out the techniques of how to convince her to get you treats.
And if it's the husband, they just have to go along with whatever you say. So.
Oh, yeah. If she gets treats, I get treats. you know. But sometimes it takes a little convincing on the husband's part. I've learned that the husbands were when you become a husband, you become a part of a big species. Because now that I'm a husband, I do things that I've never done when I wasn't a husband. You know, like the way I sit on the couch like a husband now. You become part of a species, you see. And but yeah, there's find techniques out where you belong. Of, yeah. Yep. And I am proud to be that species, that of that particular kind of a husband. because yeah. And there's ways you can tease your wife. You can always rile them up and then kiss their forehead.
Well, hey.
Fart under the covers, cover up their head so they smell it, and then kiss their forehead.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, that does not always work.
Oh, it works. It works.
Hey, you know what?
It works. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's okay.
We have a gnome right by our TV. He knows. He knows what's going on.
He gnomes what's going on.
He gnomes! All right, you guys.
Thank you guys for listening to tonight's podcast. If you've listened this far at this point, well,
oh, yeah. Oh,
bless
yeah.
your heart, you, then.
You've listened to our rambles. You've listened to you know. And you know, even though you're probably older and you're a husband, you can still get toys. You can still get Legos. You can still go to Build-A-Bear.
Or if you're a wife, or even if you're single, you can still go get yourself a toy or a treat.
Now, if you're single and you're not married and you go get toys and stuff, I think that's a little weird. You have to be married because this is stuff.
Well, but they could get like they could get a Dr. Pepper or a treat at Maverick or something.
I guess. I'm talking about toys. I'm talking about like Legos and stuff.
Oh, he's just trying to drop hints. Anyways, thank you guys for watching tonight's podcast, and we will see you next week.
Oh, and get this. I've successfully convinced my cute wife that by September, I can get this nuts flashlight.
Which we'll see, depending on how good he does.
Toys.
I've had to create a sugar regimen where he doesn't have too much sugar, but we had to shake today.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. As a husband, you have to have your secret stash of sugar.
What?
And
That's it. You're going done.
No,
thank you guys for watching.
I've said too much.
You have.
I need to go before I say too much more.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.